Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following program is presented by the HTM Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Turnbuckle Talk in partnership with thechairshot.com, presented by the Hitting the Marks Podcast Network and in association with ndpw.com. Turnbuckle Talk is sponsored by collarandelbowbrand.com, where you get 10% off when using promo code JKPodcast. Turnbuckle Talk is also partnered with Phoenix at fnxfit.com, where you get 15% off all your health supplements simply by using promo code TBTalkPod. Follow the show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at TBTalkPod. Listen on Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere you catch your favorite programs. And now, pro wrestling fanatics, are you ready? Here are your hosts, Big Joe and Carl Carafell.
All right, guys, Big Joe back here on Turnbuckle Talk, episode 191. We are 9 episodes away from 200. That is pretty insane. As you heard in our intro, thank you to Mr. Richard Bronson Vickery for our intro every week. Always good to hear from Mr. Rick Vickery. You will notice that Carl is still absent due to some personal things going on. But in his place, I do have one of my favorite Americans, Mr. Michael Jargo, host of Destino, a New Japan Pro Wrestling podcast, and coming back this week, the Hitting the Marks podcast. Welcome back to Turnbuckle Talk, sir.
Thank you for having me, man. It's always nice to fill in for my favorite Canuck, Mr. Carl Carafell. Hopefully he gets all of his situation figured out here so, I can maybe get some sleep. It's been a long week, man. It's going to be an even longer week here in the United States, let me tell you.
Yep, you got a lot going on. You got the election coming up tomorrow, I believe. So there's a lot going on down there south of the border from where I'm sitting, so...
Yeah, I the election's on Tuesday. I expect that we'll know who the next president or current president of the United States will be by mid-December.
Yeah, maybe we'll know by then. Before we do get to some wrestling stuff here, during this past week, we did lose somebody pretty significant in the entertainment business, Mr. Sean Connery. And I thought before we got into our wrestling discussion here, we would have a little fun with a little segment here. Here we go.
That's beautiful. Mr. Reynolds?
Yeah, don't bother. I didn't write anything.
Good work. All right. Finally, Mr. Connery. The category was numbers, and you wrote a letter V. Well, I tell you what, my friend. V is a Roman numeral. So despite your best efforts, you answered correctly. Let's see what you wagered. Suck it, Trebek. That's all the time we have. Good night. Would you get that off me?
So there we go. Just wanted to have a little fun there. It was actually inspired because you actually changed your Facebook profile picture to Suck It, Trebek, and I immediately thought of that. I was like, dude, I got to play at the beginning of the show.
It's so great, man. He was absolutely fantastic. You know, Everybody's talking about 007.
Yeah, man.
But for me, my favorite role of his was Highlander.
Nice.
Because he was the Scottish guy playing an Irish guy, opposite of an Irish guy who was playing a Scottish guy.
Right?
And that pops me every time.
For me, though, like you had mentioned, the 007, the James Bond, for me, like he was probably the best at that, those original movies. You know, he was the lover, the hard ass kicking James Bond, like from Russia with Love, was probably still kind of my favorite James Bond. You know, he was kicking ass and winning over the ladies at the same time. So some good stuff there. I thoroughly enjoyed Sean Connery. I mean, 90 years old, man, he lived a long, very productive and an awesome life. So it's not like his life was cut short.
I heard this morning that he passed away from dementia.
Yeah,
and that's the same thing I lost my grandpa to a couple of years ago, and in a weird sort of way, I'm almost happy that we didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy that that part of his life had become privatized where we weren't aware, because, man, I don't think I could watch Sean Connery going through that.
No. You know, and in the wrestling world, you know, we lost Tracy Smothers this past week as well. That was a pretty significant one. A lot of outpouring, a lot of love for him. You know, he's another one of these individuals in the wrestling business that pretty universally praised. And I don't think that I've heard too many people speak negatively of Mr. Tracy Smothers. So, you know, he's somebody that touched a lot of lives in the business, and he will definitely be missed.
I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about him at this point, yep. But with that in mind, I also haven't heard Sabu or New Jack comment yet. So,
true. Very true. All right, man, let's
always
get to
it. Those two guys. You ever notice that? It's always New Jack or Sabu.
I have noticed that. All right, man, let's get to some of our wrestling discussion here. And for the first one here, so basically this week here, we're going to essentially, if you're looking on Facebook now and looking at the description, you know, we're kind of rewinding on some popular showstopper segments. That's kind of been one of our most popular deals on this show. And the first one that we have up here, we'll bring up the graphic. And we're talking about Mr. John Cena. Essentially, Eric Bischoff saying that there has not been a real star in professional wrestling since John Cena. I want to get your take on this first, Jargo. What do you think? Is this an accurate statement, or is this maybe a little too much?
I think it's an accurate statement if you're looking at it strictly from the perspective of North American Western wrestling.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure that you can necessarily say Western wrestling, because you get down into Mexico, and I mean, there's guys like Rey Fenix, there's guys like Pentagon Jr., you know, that are have come up since John Cena and become huge stars inside of the business.
Mm-hmm.
But especially North American wrestling, when it gets into the WWE, Impact Wrestling, AEW, up until this point at least, I think he's right. I mean, John Cena is kind of the last one, but I don't know if that's so much John Cena or just the way that professional wrestling companies have decided to format their shows. It's not built around stars anymore. It's built around the brand.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the big thing with him, and there are some others, you know, Batista, whatnot, they have a lot of crossover appeal, and they've crossed over into other forms of entertainment and media, and have done very successfully. And that's not always been the case with professional wrestlers. Some have done better, and some haven't. But I mean, Cena is somebody who has crossed over very well. And I mean, even coming up soon, this one kind of still has me scratching my head a little bit, but I think it's still cool. He might be starring in the new Duke Nukem movie that would be coming out pretty soon. So, I mean, outside of wrestling, I mean, this guy has been kind of knocking it out of the park since kind of getting out of the business. And, you know, who knows? I mean, I think that door is always kind of open to do something if he wants to. But I mean, just mass appeal across a number of different forms of media. It's been pretty incredible, actually.
Cena's getting to the point, I don't know if he can if he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Cena is getting to the point where he is such a big star that he's almost getting into that Rock territory.
Yep.
And not, I don't mean that in terms of his star power. I mean that in terms of he is doing so many movies that the Hollywood film studios are going to be like, you think you're going to go wrestle? Right? No, not happening. The insurance policy, not worth it. You're either going to be an actor or you're going to be a wrestler. I'm not sure the door is open for John Cena.
You had mentioned that the big thing, especially some of these high, big budget movies, there's a lot invested in this guy. They don't want him to go, you know, work a match, even a WrestleMania match, and risk injury. I mean, that's a big investment there that could possibly be lost. So I totally get that aspect of it too. And
that happened to Rock, wasn't it? One of the Fast and Furious movies, I want to say, where he tore a pectoral muscle when he came back, yeah. And it moved the whole like filming of the production back like 6 months.
Yeah, so you know, it can happen. Is there a way that we can kind of? This kind of brings up a bit of a bigger question here, man. Like, because you had mentioned where it's like now everybody's just kind of like an interchangeable part, you know, especially in the WWE, we see that. But is it even possible these days to kind of build a big kind of super megastar like that? It's hard because, you know, especially in the WWE, because we're working, it's just the nature of the beast that they kind of need everybody to kind of be interchangeable. But I mean, I think it's something we could maybe likely see one of the other companies. And I would like to say New Japan before we could see a big megastar.
Well, and that's the thing. Like when you look at the Japanese culture and the way that New Japan books their shows versus the way like a WWE or an Impact Wrestling and AEW and the way that they're presenting their shows, like they've absolutely made Kazuchika Okada a huge star in Japan, you know, but it's the way that they still use stars to draw houses in Japan. That hasn't been the case in the United States, really, going back even a bit before John Cena. It was like, you know, once Vince McMahon got burned by The Rock, it was like, okay, so now rather than promoting stars, we're going to promote the WWE. You're not coming to see Hulk Hogan wrestle anymore. You're coming to see the entire World Wrestling Entertainment come and put on a show for you. And that's really what it's become. And inside of that model, I don't think there can be a major breakout star to the level of John Cena. I mean, obviously, Drew McIntyre is a much bigger star now than he was 5 years ago. Sure. But he's not even in the same stratosphere as John Cena at this point.
Yeah, and with that too, it's you'd mentioned like you can't just because there's so many other vested interests or anything too. Just I mean, yeah, it's a tough thing, man. And just the brand is more important, and I think that's a big reason why we don't see big crowds for. Well, right now is not a really great time to kind of be talking about this with COVID going on, but you know, it's a big reason why wrestling hasn't drawn a big physical crowd in North America for a while is that there's no big kind of main draw. You know, your Rocks, your Hogans, your Andres, they're all gone, and there's been nobody to kind of fill their spots.
But to counter that, do they necessarily need a star like John Cena? That's I mean, the they're thing. Making more money now than they ever have because of the television rights revenue. I mean, hell, they're not even selling tickets, and they're making more money than they ever have because of television rights. Yeah. You know, so do you even need a star like that when you have billion-dollar TV deals?
Yeah. Now, if those were to go away, you know, then we'd be having a different conversation, I think.
Well, but then if they go away, that completely changes the business model, too.
For sure, for sure. It's an interesting discussion, man. And, it'd be cool to kind of see Cena come back for certain things. But like I said, you know, you had mentioned it, too, that with him being involved in these other ventures, it's a risky proposition for both sides kind of involved.
And good for him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, nothing against John Cena. If you don't want to get beat up 300 days a year and you want to go make a movie and make, you know, 15 times as much money as you were getting beat up 300 days a year, who can blame the guy, right? Like, that is the dream.
For sure, for sure. All right, man, let's move on to our next topic here. And we're talking kayfabe. This is a topic that seems to kind of keep coming up here. And I thought I'd post this little graphic here. I think it's a kind of representative, a little bit of that aspect. Essentially, the topic here, guys, is can wrestling survive long-term with kayfabe essentially being dead now? What is your take on this, man? I'm curious to know what you think about this.
I mean, it's... This is such a difficult question.
It is.
Because I don't know as though you can necessarily say that kayfabe is dead. Because you have to look at who the shows are marketed to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the way that WWE is presenting their shows these days, They're presenting it towards a child's audience. Well, to the kids, kayfabe is still alive and well. It's to the, you know, the 40-something-year-old internet marks who are sitting on in their mom's basement. Oh, wait, that's kind of us, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah.
Yes, I think we can't exist without kayfabe now. No, but you see what I'm saying? It's just the way that you have to look at things and the way that things are laid out. I mean, our parents knew that it wasn't real when we were seven, but they didn't have social media to sit and bitch about
it. Right. It's almost kind of like the Santa Claus deal of the kid not knowing that Santa Claus is fake or not. Right. But then I also think it depends on what wrestling you're watching as well. I think other companies do it differently. You know, New Japan, a perfect example. I think that, and I think it has a lot to do with the way that's presented as well. It's presented a lot more as a legitimate thing that's happening. You know, people are going and watching it as if it's an actual sporting event. You even just look at the crowds even now, it looks very much like, you know, they're very respectful, very, very muted, but, and then you go with this North American deal of where people chant whatever they kind of want. And the other thing, too, is that everybody and their mother now kind of knows the inner workings, especially over here in North America, all the behind-the-scenes stuff we see, all the stuff that these people are up to on social media. You know, even, for example, you know, I've been watching a ton of WWE programming, but they did this little sit-down thing with Lars Sullivan, and I couldn't figure it out. It's they're trying to push him as this kind of bad guy, and then we've got this stuff going on behind the scenes, kind of compromising that. And you have this guy here trying to be bad, but just his voice doesn't even sound intimidating. Just it's a really weird. Kayfabe is in a really weird place right now, and there's some places where it's working, and it still is the case, and there's some places where that's just completely out the window now.
What if you flip this question around?
Okay,
can kayfabe exist in wrestling in 2020?
Yeah.
And I feel like the only way that you can answer that with a yes is if you look at something like a Lucha Underground, where they don't present it to be inside of reality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, to me, the biggest problem with kayfabe is the wrestling business trying to go out of their way to prove to you that it's dead by doing stuff like Jericho and MJF and that singing segment. I mean, if there's anything in the world of professional wrestling that is going to scream to somebody, this is fake as hell, it's going to be, you know, breaking into a song and dance number in the middle of it. You know, that's not on the talent of breaking kayfabe. That's on the company for even allowing something like that to exist on their programming. I mean, if you want kayfabe to exist, you have to create that narrative. You have to create that world. That's why it worked in Lucha Underground, because we knew it was a scripted series. And so we didn't mind suspending our disbelief to say, yeah, we've got Luchasaurus running around here in the same world as Pentagon. You know what I mean?
And then once you go down that path as well, can you even call yourself professional wrestling at that point? You're essentially, then you're just essentially your entertainment at that point.
Would you say that it's sports entertainment?
That's tough to tell sometimes, you know, especially in WWE, they blur those lines. And
I just feel like the way the American wrestling scene in particular is
so different.
We want to have one toe in the water and one toe out of the water.
Yeah.
Like, we want kayfabe around, but we can't go that far with it.
Right. You know, and then we go over to Japan and you see a totally different approach, you know, with New Japan, with Stardom and whatnot. It's just a sporting event that's kind of happening. And yeah, there's kind of little storylines kind of going on, but I mean, you see that in sports as well. It's more presented that way. Whereas, you know, now when we go to the WWE aspect, I mean, there's sometimes they can do something successfully. I mean, even this week I watched a little bit of SmackDown and stuff they're doing with Jey Uso and Roman. Some of it's kind of intriguing. And then you'll throw in that Lars Sullivan segment, and I just sitting there going, what is this? Like, you know, just it's all hit and miss.
Retribution Firefly Funhouse thing from Monday Night Raw, where, you know, they're just standing there and Retribution scares them and they close in and then the lights go out and they're gone.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, you just shattered your own narrative is really what they're doing. You know, it's like you can't have it both ways. There's this constant tug and pull, you know, between a sense of reality and the sense of kayfabe, you got to go one way or the other, or it just doesn't work. Like, I guarantee you what is not going to happen at Power Struggle coming up this weekend on NJPWWorld.com. Nice plug, right?
Yes. I'm
a freaking professional. Minoru Suzuki and Shingo Takagi are going to have a fight. You know what they're not going to do? Stop in the middle of the fight, do a song and dance, and then go back to fighting. Like, that's just not going to happen.
You're not going to see pictures of them on social media having ice cream together.
No, but you know what is terrifying on social media? Do you follow Minoru Suzuki on Instagram?
I feel like maybe I should.
He likes posting pictures of his socks. It's very, very disturbing. Well, like, even, you know, like Minoru Suzuki and what socks he's wearing today somehow is scary because kayfabe's alive and well in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Absolutely, it is. And then we go into the, say, AEW, for example. You know, I actually had a discussion with this on social media, actually, with somebody just before we kind of came on here. They're asking, you know, is Miro Rusev, has his run in AEW been a success? I'm like, well, it's, you know, it's a little early to tell. And I think kind of part of the issue, if they want to keep pushing him as a bad guy, is you got to stop with this good guy stuff on social media, because then how are we going to believe you? We just had mentioned with Suzuki, you know, he's, well, maybe with him it's a little bit different, but you can't be believable as a bad guy if in real life you're kind of being a good guy. There's a delicate balance there. And we had mentioned it before, and this is a famous line of yours, run credits. And I think that especially if we're going to go more towards this entertainment approach, I think we need to go down that path and start doing that.
AEW, I mean, when it comes to the question of kayfabe, I mean, that company was literally built on breaking the world of kayfabe.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I feel like, and that's possibly part of the reason that, you know, when you look at the first episode of Dynamite and what they drew for the first episode of Dynamite versus, you know, what they drew last week, which was about half of what they drew for that debut episode.
Yeah.
That could be a big reason why.
Yeah, it's definitely an indicator. I mean, the charm is kind of worn off for me when it comes to them. But I mean, I still catch some AEW now and then. But for those who've been paying attention, New Japan's kind of mainly been my focus. Like, they don't insult my intelligence, and that's why I really appreciate about that product.
Yeah, that, and you know, they don't bring out in song and dance. And to be clear, I didn't even dislike that segment.
Yeah,
like as a segment, it was very well done. Yeah. It was very well presented. It was very well executed. It's the fact that it exists to begin with that I have a problem with. Like, I feel like that kind of segment is detrimental to the business if you are trying to keep any kind of kayfabe, because nothing screams this is more scripted than a song and dance routine.
Right.
Like, by its very definition.
You're breaking kayfabe. Yeah. All right, man. Well, speaking of New Japan, and we had mentioned Mr. John Cena, I think this segues somewhat nicely into this next topic here. And we've mentioned actually this with Carl and myself here on Turnbuckle Talk, but a potential dream matchup between Mr. John Cena and Mr. Hiroshi Tanahashi over New Japan. This actually stemmed off of this idea coming from you originally, and then we kind of piggybacked off. And now it's kind of coming full circle to you and I talking about it. I think this kind of matchup could be a big deal in professional wrestling, I think, especially if it were done in Japan. But I want to get your take on this, man. What do you think about just the idea of this matchup happening? And then if you were going to do it, where would you do it?
There is not a lot of true dream matches left inside of the world of professional wrestling.
No.
The way that the wrestling world has become in 2020 in a weird way is almost incestuous. Like, you know, where you're like, oh, I would really love to see this guy take on this guy. And they're like, oh, it happened in, you know, Ring of Honor 5 years ago. Here, check out the video.
Yeah.
That was a great match when it happened in Evolve, or when it happened at Dragon Gate or All Japan, or it just goes on and on and on. John Cena versus Hiroshi Tanahashi, to me, is the last true dream match. I mean, I'm getting to the point where I feel like Okada versus Orton would kind of be one of those matches too.
Yep.
But to me, Cena versus Tanahashi, I'm not sure that there's a bigger professional wrestling match that you could have in 2020. As far as if it were going to happen, which it's not, but if it were going to happen, I'm with you. I would love to see it in the Tokyo Dome. I would love to see, because I think John Cena is a huge star that would be mega over in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
And I would love to see him work the Japanese style. I'd also love to see Tanahashi on a WrestleMania stage. I'd love to see him in front of 70,000 people. I think Tana would do really, really well in a 2020 WWE context, assuming that his knees weren't shot and he could actually speak English. You know, like, I mean, is there a more Western wrestler in all of New Japan than Hiroshi Tanahashi?
No, I would say that he's definitely, I've even said it myself, he's almost like the Japanese John Cena over there, which
very much so
lends credence even more to this to this happening. I mean, I kind of envision, you know, Cena appearing at a upcoming WrestleMania, and then, you know, maybe like Shinsuke Nakamura is coming out or something, maybe that, then you have Tana come out with him or something, and then you're like, hey, you know what? You and me, Wrestle Kingdom, Tokyo Dome.
One of the things that really, like, I feel like has kind of brought this up was with that Jericho 30th anniversary thing, right? Mm-hmm. When Tanahashi showed up on the video screen to wish Jericho a happy anniversary, the entire internet wrestling community lost their minds that they were seeing Hiroshi Tanahashi on American television.
Yep.
I would love to see him in a crowd of, like, you know, 75, 80,000 people, because Tanahashi is the kind of guy that even when he came out, even if a quarter of the fans knew and just freaked out because it's Hiroshi Tanahashi, I feel like the other three quarters of the crowd would be like, oh, this guy is clearly a big deal. We need to react like those people, because we don't want people to know that we don't know who Hiroshi Tanahashi is. I think he would be receptive huge. He might be the most over Japanese wrestler in America since like Muda.
No, I would agree 100%. We've even seen other lines kind of somewhat kind of cross. We saw Rock paying tribute to Ken Shamrock getting inducted into the Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame. You know, and I think especially what's kind of going on these days, I mean, I would almost kind of recommend and encourage these company lines kind of crossing, because I think that it only kind of increases the appeal to professional wrestling again. I'd like to see more lines crossed. And I guess it would just be a matter of Vince would really kind of be up to doing this. I know he is not really ever kind of been into that, but I would definitely encourage it, because I just said, I think we would see kind of a big spike in interest if we saw, like, you know, New Japan guys appearing on WWE or vice versa, or just kind of go all over the place. I mean, you could have some fun if you wanted to, but just to be a matter of everybody would have to be on the same page, and I just can't really think of a time that's ever been the case.
How about this? It happens after Tanahashi retires. And it happens in a Hollywood movie. And we just get a giant fight scene between John Cena and Hiroshi Tanahashi that's filmed all cinematic. Like, I feel like that's actually more feasible than it is actually seeing them together inside of a wrestling ring. I mean, Tanahashi is a huge movie star in Japan. Cena, obviously, huge movie star here in the States. Somebody write this movie. Just make sure that Cena is the bad guy versus the ace of the universe. And the ace of the universe wins in the end.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. The wrestling fan in me would still want to see an actual match. But, I mean, anything between these two guys, I think, could be money.
Always leave them wanting more.
Yeah, man, it would be interesting to see what would happen there. Before we do our next topic here, we're going to take a brief break. And we're going to hear from our friends over at collarandelbowbrand.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Fall is in the air. That means pumpkin spice lattes. That means pumpkin spice everything. Ugg boots, yoga pants. God, I hope I can fit into mine this season. Scarves and baseball tees.
Hoodie!
Not yet, but soon. The metal tee. No need for any cease and desist here. And hats. Stop by collarandelbowbrand.com today and get your fall drop immediately. It's fall, y'all.
collarandelbowbrand.com.
You'll be the coolest person in Starbucks whether you're wearing yoga pants and Ugg boots or not. In fact, I like to go to Starbucks without the bottoms on all the time and just wear my collar and elbow brand type shirts. I immediately get my coffee and go.
There we go. A little word from our friend Al Snow over at collarandelbowbrand.com. As you can see in the ticker on the bottom, you use promo code JKPODCAST at checkout and you can get 10% off your entire purchase at the checkout. So make sure and do that. All right, guys, let's move on to our next topic here. Ooh, this is a good one here. Let me bring up the graphic here first and then we'll see if Drago can pick up what we're going to be doing here. Here we go. If you were to bring back a real legend or bring back somebody who's not around in professional wrestling anymore and have them back, who would it be and what would you kind of do with them? I'll actually start off since I put up the graphic here. For me, this is just, it's always been a no-brainer. I've had this discussion with Carl and with other fans. I would bring back Andre the Giant. Really, I think the first and really only, I think still true, and I mean legend, like true legend of professional wrestling. I don't think anything... But he touches this guy when it comes to just every aspect of his life and his time in the business. If I were to bring back Andre the Giant, if I were to bring back somebody, a real legend in the business and have them around, I would bring back Andre. I'll not only to watch him, but I mean, even if I could just get to talk to the guy for a few minutes, I mean, that to me, that would just be pretty incredible. I would love to have, you know, at the very least, have seen Andre have been around for a little bit longer.
I do not disagree. I guess my only thing is there's so much of Andre's career that nobody has ever watched. Mm-hmm. Like there is so much video footage of Andre going back to like, you know, the mid 70s over in Japan and whatnot that like I had never seen that until I went looking for it. And it's incredible. Especially our generation, it's like we only remember the end of Andre when he had really become a bit fragile.
He couldn't do anything.
The post-Princess Bride kind of Andre. But to go back to like, you know, 77, 78 and find Andre when he was working over in Japan, it's incredible how athletic that guy was.
Incredible. Doing drop kicks and all kinds of stuff. It was insane. Yeah, he was he's a one-of-a-kind individual. I don't think will ever be replicated.
And my nomination is also a one-of-a-kind individual who will never be replicated, and that's Bruiser Brody. I would love to see Brody in any major professional wrestling company in a 2020 context, if for no other reason than to see him just beat the ever-loving piss out of some of these guys.
Do you just imagine, you know, him, like if he wanted to go do bad guy versus bad guy, a guy who's one of our personal favorites, imagine, like, I mean, Brody spent a fair amount of time over in New Japan. Imagine Brody versus Suzuki. I mean, that would just be off the friggin' charts, man. I would mark up pretty hard for something like that if it were to ever happen.
And we were talking about AEW earlier and their lack of characters, basically trying to base everything in reality or inside of this kayfabe world that's so over the top on BTE.
Yep.
That's what I would have done with Lance Archer. When Lance Archer missed came opportunity to there. AEW, given his size versus the rest of that roster, I would have made him Brody. And just had him going out and just destroying people.
They were right on the cusp of that, and you had Jake alongside with him, which I thought was perfect too. I mean, the exact right guy to be his mouthpiece alongside with him, but just they came a little short. Like they were close, they didn't quite go over the top of that. You know, they had, you know, the little segment with him being kind of in the outdoor rink, kind of squashing all these nobodies and whatnot. You guys were so close to making him that persona. You just need to go a little bit further, and then you would have had like a major bad guy on your hands. That would have been really cool. I agree.
And I will confess, you know, Brody was one of those guys that up until a couple of years ago, like, I knew about Brody. I had read about Brody. I knew the Brody story. But I didn't, like, go out looking for Bruiser Brody matches. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, that guy's, like, a top five all-time talent. Yeah. I mean, Brody was incredible. And just to see the way the Japanese fans reacted to Bruiser Brody is insane.
And those series of matches with him and Abdullah the Butcher. I mean,
oh my God.
That is the stuff of legend, my friend.
Yeah, and with very good reason as to why. Yeah. I mean, go look at some of that stuff, and it's and then just try to put into context the context of what you're watching. You know, there's so much now that we go back and, like, I've been on a 96 Nitro kick, right?
I remember you telling me
and
that.
And one of the things that I'm noticing is the work rate in 2020, the actual presentation of the wrestling matches is so much better now. But you have to try to watch it in context. And especially when you see something like the other night, I saw Jushin Liger versus Ultimo Dragon for 9 championship belts.
Yeah.
And to go back and to put yourself in the mindset and the context, my God, this was 1996.
Yeah.
People weren't doing Frankensteiners off the top rope. But Ultimo Dragon was.
Oh, yeah, man.
You know, some of the stuff Liger was doing back then. Go back and watch some of, like, the Sayama Tiger Mask stuff, the Brody stuff, Andre's stuff, and just try to put yourself into that mental context of, oh, my God, this was 1983. What was he thinking?
Right, and you had just mentioned the WCW Nitro stuff. I mean, I was a WCW kid at that time, too, and I remember watching a lot of, you know, Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Juventud Guerrera, Liger, all those guys, just seeing them doing stuff, and I'd be sitting there just going, like, just in awe. I mean, they weren't these necessarily these larger-than-life personas, but they were doing, like, superhuman things on this television screen in front of my eyes, and I was always just in awe. And that's a big thing that for me is kind of missing these days, but we'll get to that later on the episode. I don't want to go too far on that topic.
Shout out to Psychosis.
Yes.
A luchador that nobody mentions. I'll tell you what, doing that 96 Nitro run, Psychosis is the highlight of, like, every one of those shows. It's incredible how good that guy was. Unfortunately, I hear behind the scenes he's kind of a douchebag.
Well, that I have a little bit of story. If you remember on Turnbuckle Talk, our good friend Danny Duggan up here in Canada was doing a tour with CW in the wintertime, and he actually had a major accident in the snow. And thankfully, Psychosis was there and essentially saved his life. Danny was essentially pinned under his car and was almost dead. And Psychosis was the one guy to save his life. So personal shout out to him. And otherwise, Danny might not be around to talk to us now these days. So
wow, crazy.
Yeah, some crazy stuff, man.
Crazy
so
story.
A ton of respect for that, man. All right, man, let's move on to our next topic here. And this is one that actually we discussed, Carl and I, just recently on a recent episode of Turnbuckle Talk. And we were talking about the possibility of an NXT here in Canada. Now, I know you're not in Canada, Jargo, but what do you think about the possibility of this happening? Is this something that you're for? Because, I mean, the idea of it is all fine and dandy, but there's some other logistics to kind of take care of. But just the idea of it, is this something that you think would be good and you'd like to see?
I hard pass on it, man. No disrespect to Canada, but I don't feel like we need an NXT Canada and an NXT United States. The styles between those two promotions would be so incredibly similar that I don't necessarily see a need for it. Like, you know, when I look at the NXT that we have now versus NXT UK, very much has its own feel and its own style. There's been a lot of talk about doing an NXT Japan. Clearly would have its own feel and its own style. To me, it would make a lot more sense to do like an NXT Mexico than an NXT Canada, just because the lucha style is so much different. I feel like an NXT Canada, they kind of just be in that circular firing squad kind of rotation, to where I don't think it would work unless it was something very much more like the coconut loop, which is what you get when you sign to NXT, but it isn't actually aired on TV. It's kind of that Florida loop before you get to TV. Like, I could see a performance center in Canada. I could see them having something like the coconut loop, But when it comes to an actual television property or a network property, I just don't see it.
I think the two bigger issues are finding a network necessarily to kind of get on, but just geographically and logistically, it's a nightmare because even if you just look at a map of Canada, I mean, compared to the U.S., our population is a lot smaller, and it's also a lot more spread out. There are a lot more rural areas, and we don't really have a centralized kind of population. I think that is kind of the bigger issue of successfully pulling off a true NXT Canada is it would likely be based in Toronto, and that's it.
It'd be based in Toronto, and you'd get like a Vancouver tour once a year.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be a proper representation of Canada, just because you know it's so hard for people from the, especially the West Coast and the East Coast, to even make it to Southern Ontario, the area where I'm at. But I mean, and it's not for a lack of talent. I mean, that's one thing that we mentioned on a previous episode here. It's not like Canada's lacking in wrestling talent. I mean, some of the best talent that's ever come through this business has been either from Canadians or through Canada. So, not to toot our own horn here, but yeah, it's not a matter of talent. It's a matter of the other logistics to kind of pull it off. And the scenario that you had suggested there too, Jargo, it's kind of reminiscent of just how we are as a country. Next to the United States is we're just kind of like the little brother, you know, you guys do something and we just kind of follow along with, and that's unfortunately probably what would happen to NXT Canada if it were to happen.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. and especially isn't Impact kind of like a NXT Canada at this point? I mean, like if somebody really catches on in Impact, it's not like they're not going to NXT in, you know, 2 years when their contract is up.
Right. So, yeah, I had suggested that when Carl was on, and we had Mr. Spencer Love on as well and I even had suggested the fact that WWE could buy Impact and then kind of make them that Canadian brand, but then you know there's some other issues play there as well, and you know the way that they are as a company now, Impact, it would be a little soon, a little kind of strange for them to go down that path, but yeah, I mean essentially Impact is kind of that Canadian promotion now, and then we have kind of our lower tier underneath, like we have our CWEs and we have Smash and all that kind of stuff, and you know, some good stuff here, but I don't think that we'll ever, and I don't think that we should try to execute a WWE NXT Canada, because I think that it would be probably something that wouldn't work out too well.
I think you would be more likely to see something like and I'm just pulling this name out just because I know what the Canadian wrestling promotion, or at least was, seeing something like a Stampede really rise back up through the independent ranks to the point where WWE would buy them and put them on the network, kind of like they have done with Evolve. But it would take somebody with an upstart promotion to get really, really hot enough for WWE to actually invest in the prop.
No, I agree. And I think that, you know, I think Canadian wrestling is just fine the way it is now. It's done more kind of like an independent kind of deal, and I think it should just kind of be kept that way. I think just very similar to a lot of other WWE things, I think it'll just kind of get watered down if we were to go down that path with yeah, for sure. All right, man, let's get to a little bit of there's not a whole lot of breaking news, but there's one thing that I want to kind of talk about. All right, so I'll pull up the graphic here, and then we'll kind of talk about her, because that's what this is going to be about here. I'm going to put up her picture here. We're talking Miss Kylie Rae, and this is something that's kind of been making its rounds on social media, on the sheets quite a bit this morning and today. It's come out now that essentially what happened here is that she was supposed to make an appearance with Impact and then just didn't, she just no-showed and didn't say anything to anybody. And this was, I'm guessing, had to have been at least a good week or two ago. And now she's come out saying that she is done with professional wrestling and then she is removing herself from social media. This isn't the first time that this has happened with her. You know, she had signed with AEW and then seemingly got kind of scared, or I don't know what happened there, and then she left there, and then they ended up releasing her as well. What's your take on what's going on with this girl, man? It's a real head scratcher.
To be completely honest, you know way more about the situation than I do.
Yeah.
I knew that she had missed the Bound for Glory date where she was supposed to take on Deonna Purrazzo. for the Impact Women's Championship. I knew about that. I don't know, man. There's something about Kylie Rae to me that has never really clicked. Like, yeah, there's just something that has always seemed off with her. And I don't really know what it is. If it's just, she seems very, very social justice-y warriory,
yep,
I guess. I would agree. That's kind of a thing. Yep. And I don't feel like the wrestling business is necessarily the place for somebody like that. I mean, mm-hmm, the wrestling business is a carny, dirty kind of place, you know? And I realize people want to clean it up. We want to change that. Yeah. Well, that's great, but it hasn't been done yet.
Yeah. With me, I think that people are maybe reading a little too much in this. I think what's at the heart of this. So you have to look at her age. I mean, she's not even 30 years old yet. She's like 28. In my opinion, she's your typical 20 something year old girl who's insecure. You know, she wanted a lot of attention, and then when she got it, she freaked out. She didn't know how to handle it. And now she's just kind of keeping it at arm's distance away. And really, I think at the heart of the matter, that's all that happened here. And people are just trying to think, oh, maybe she was involved with this Carl Anderson thing, which I really don't think is the case at all. And just, or that it's a work and whatnot. I think it's just a matter of, you know, she's just an insecure 20 something year old who got freaked out over the fame. That's it.
There are a lot of people on this planet that are mentally convinced to hate their job.
Yep.
Regardless of what that job is.
Yep.
And when your passion becomes your job,
you hate it.
You can grow to hate your passion. Yep. And because you find out that's not what your passion is about at all. I think she's the kind of person that really enjoys independent wrestling.
Yep.
I just don't think that she enjoys being in a mainstream kind of context.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, and there's also the fact that she is 28 years old. And granted, we look at that and we think, gosh, she's still so young. But when you look at that from a women's perspective, 28 to 32, that's kind of the sweet spot for female professional wrestlers. There's a lot of them that walk away at that point because they want to start families. They want to move on with their careers. There's not a whole lot of female wrestlers that are going to wrestle into their mid 40s like the guys are.
Yep, for sure. And the only other thing I can think of with her is maybe there's some kind of underlying mental issue kind of going on that we're not really fully aware of. And if that's the case, then, you know, then it kind of is what it is. But just
or maybe it's, you know, I made it all the way to AEW. That's it. And it was not my thing. And then I left and I went to another quote unquote major company in Impact Wrestling, and same kind of experience. And I'm just done with it.
Yep. No, I think that's a combination of my idea and your idea, I think, is likely the case. And like I said, and there's probably some underlying medical condition or mental condition that's exasperating the issue. So really, I think that's all that's kind of going on with this. All right, man, let us move on.
Stan, but I have some breaking news for you that you may not be aware of.
What do you got?
This morning, they announced the lineup for the Best of Super Juniors.
Nice.
And here are your competitors for this year's Best of Super Juniors. It's a bit smaller lineup.
Okay.
You have Kanemaru,
nice,
Bushi, Taguchi making his return to the ring, El Desperado, Master Freakin' Wado, who is actually my pick to win the whole damn thing, even though it kind of makes me sick.
Yep.
Robbie Eagles making his return to New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Nice.
Doki, Sho, Taiji Ishimori, and Hiromu Takahashi. That is your lineup for this year's Best of Super Juniors that gets underway on November 15th.
Wow, and you've got Master Wado, eh?
I saw in, forget if it was like, it was a cluster F tag, all right?
Yeah.
But they had, when you go through and you kind of, you know, start mashing things up, and it's like, okay, well, this guy's in there to face off with this guy, and this guy's in there to face off with this guy on down the line. Taiji Ishimori was on one side of the ring and Master Wado was on the other side of the ring. And I was like, oh God, oh God, they're going to make Master Wado win Best of Super Juniors. Oh God, I don't want to see Wado versus Ishimori in the Tokyo Dome. Are you kidding me? No, let's not do that.
Yeah, for me, it's got to be Hiromu. I've got Hiromu winning. They got to go that way, I would think.
You have to.
All right, man, let us move on to our match of the week. All right, Jargo, since you're the guest this week, what was your match of the week? Or I believe you've actually got two. What do you got?
I picked you because I wasn't sure what you were going to pick. Mm-hmm. And I think most of the professional wrestling world that has seen this match at this point, it was their match of the week. And that was Walter versus Ilya Dragunov on NXT UK. They went about 27 minutes for the NXT UK championship, and it was a fantastic match. Dare I say, it was on the level of a G1 climax match. The only thing was it was a one-off as opposed to doing 19 of them in the span of a month. But it's an absolutely fantastic match. Dragunov really taking it to Walter. Dragunov, the only man to pin Walter in NXT UK since his debut. He's been champion for like 580 days at this point.
Wow.
Which, granted, there's a pandemic in there. So, you know, that kind of messes with things a little bit.
For sure.
To me, that is the absolute clear choice for match of the week. So I had come up with another one just in case you had went with that as your match of the week. And I'm going to go with Julia versus Himeka for the Wonder of Stardom Championship from earlier this week, which was an absolutely fantastic match between two women, both inside of Donna Del Mundo, throwing down for the white belt. That's a great match. If somebody's looking to get into Stardom, those two girls, kind of the foundation for the next 5 to 10 years.
I keep meaning to check out some Stardom because I hear lots of good things about it. So eventually I'm going to have to pull the trigger and likely subscribe and check out some of that product because I hear nothing but good things coming from Mr. Michael Jargo about Stardom wrestling. So I'm going to have to check that out. For me, my match of the week is, of course, coming from New Japan Pro Wrestling from today, November 2nd, the Road to Power Struggle show. And we're talking the matchup between LIJ and Suzuki-gun. We're talking Bushi, Hiromu Takahashi, Shingo Takagi versus Yoshinobu, Kanemaru, El Desperado, and Minoru Suzuki. I'm getting better with the Japanese names, man.
Yoshinobu, you got it, man. Right? You got it. I am so proud of you right now.
And, dude, like, you throw Shingo Takagi and Minoru Suzuki and Hiromu Takahashi into one match, and you are always, always going to be in the running for match of the week for me, and just some great stuff there. And I typically hate the six-man tag match, but these guys make it work. Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's the Japan style, I guess. It's very action-oriented, not a whole lot of bullshit going on, for lack of a better term. And, dude, I loved it. It was good.
Yeah, there's an awful lot going on between those six guys. Clearly, yeah. We have Suzuki and Shingo are going to face off at Power Struggle. We just saw Kanemaru and Desperado take down Bushi and Hiromu. I guess that would have been 2 days ago now as of this recording for the junior championships. Mm-hmm. Thank God, because I was terrified they were going to put the junior tag titles on Hiromu. And I was just like, oh, God, no. No, let's not do that either. Yep. We need Hiromu versus Ishimori in the
dome.
That's what needs to happen. Yep. But just the way that the storyline had been built up, this six-man tag absolutely makes sense. And I just love the feud, the interfaction warfare that goes on between LIJ and Suzuki. Yep. It's so good.
They even gave Desperado the mic for a little while. I had no idea what he was saying, but I was still interested.
Even though I don't know what he was saying either, but he was clearly saying it to Hiromu, and it clearly had to do with Best of Super Juniors.
Yep.
So when I see actually how the blocks and the brackets are laid out for Best of Super Juniors, I am absolutely eyeing El Desperado versus Hiromu as a potential final.
That will likely be a matchup of the week when and if it happens for myself. So looking,
I really turned around on Desperado.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was something, for one reason or another, I just could not stand him. Yeah. And then he got injured and he was gone for a while. And since he came back, I just feel like he has been absolutely fantastic. I hate that they got him tagging with Kanemaru. I would like to see Desperado in some more singles feuds as opposed to the tag team thing.
Yeah, well, and it's just been the deal kind of in New Japan is everybody's kind of stepped up and everybody's kind of been given a chance to shine, and something I give that promotion a lot of credit for, and what makes it really enjoyable to watch. All right, man, let's take a brief break here, and let's hear from our friends. Let's hear from our friends over at thechairshot.com.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis. With attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
So here you go, a little word from our friends over at thechairshot.com. And kind of been one of our new homes since the grill position was sold off to the other website. And you can find us there on a weekly basis, along with a lot of the goings-on in professional wrestling and all kinds of good stuff over there. So make sure and check them out. All right, Jargo, let us move on to, well, this whole episode has kind of been showstopper segments, but we have a special one lined up for the last one here. All right, so let me pull up the graphic here, and we can talk about this. And here we go. What can we do to make wrestling great again? And there's a number of things that we could kind of do here, but I want to get your thoughts on this first of all. What can be done to make wrestling great again? And this is a bit of a potentially a bit of a strange topic because, I mean, there's some parts of wrestling, like we were just talking about, that are arguably doing great just now, but there are some weak aspects around, I think, especially here in North America.
I would agree with that. I see absolutely no reason to change anything of what's happening when it comes to basically the entire rest of the world. The UK is kind of doing their thing as they come back from the pandemic and the speaking out movement. Japan has very much just kind of moved forward as talent has come and gone. Mexico and Lucha Libre is still huge. They have no problem having a super spreader events, you know, at Arena Mexico. It's really when you get into the United States and Canada, which is, let's face it, the base of what most of us and our listeners are watching. I feel like the biggest thing that we need to make pro wrestling great again is pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. We need more pro wrestling and less sports entertainment. Give me more of that sports-like presentation that AEW was promising that just never really materialized, instead of doing all this cutesy kind of crap, you know, instead of doing song and dance routines, instead of doing cinematic matches, instead of, you know, who's sleeping with who, instead of throwing Lana through tables every week. Like, can we just get back to pro wrestling?
Yep. For me, the two big factors for me, I think that the biggest one is social media. I think has really kind of damaged professional wrestling, because I had mentioned that especially when you have somebody, I think you really see this when you see somebody being that heel or that bad guy character, and then when you look on their Twitter page or their Facebook page or their Instagram page or whatever it is, and you see them like in a Speedo mowing the lawn, or you see them at McDonald's with somebody that they're feuding with, or, you know, taking a picture or hugging somebody that they're feuding with, just it ruins the whole allure of it. And I think that we need to at least try and at least, we had mentioned before, I think, separate the person and then separate them from the wrestling character. I think we're at the point where we need to make that clear distinction, and then we can kind of go more down that reality path. Or if we want to go purely down the entertainment path, then we can do that.
You have to go all in one way or the other.
Yep.
You can't have it both ways.
Yep. And then I also just think that you had mentioned it. I think we need to do just back to professional wrestling, and I think we have to just stop insulting the intelligence, especially of people that, you know, your core audience that, you know, is a little bit more kind of in the know. But then again, you know, it's hard to kind of ride that fine line of, you know, appealing to, you know, the younger audience and then the more experienced audience. I understand that there's a little bit of a juggle that has to happen there, but it's the most
basic things that they do that drive me insane. Yep. Like, let's take Retribution, for example, Retribution is coming out. They're with chainsaws, destroying the ring, tearing everything up, attacking people left and right. So WWE rewards them with full-time contracts.
Yeah.
And then Raw drafts them to Monday Night Raw as an entire faction because they really want them on the show.
Yeah.
Really? On what plane of existence does that make any kind of logical sense?
Yeah. And I think just being more kind of in tune, kind of what's going on and not being so tone deaf. I think especially, you know, right now with this whole Lars Sullivan situation, I think that the way that they're kind of handling that kind of is a bad look on them. I mean, we know what this guy's been up to, you know, we took him back, you know, and then he kind of stepped on his own toe again, you know, and then we try and present him as a bad guy, but then we see them, he can't really pull it off into the promos. I just said stuff like that. I think that they need to pay attention to a little bit more kind of what's going on, be a little bit more self-aware and just realize that, you know, hey, you know, this guy has a bad look on us. We need to either just get rid of him, or we need to just kind of keep him under the radar for a little while instead of trying to present him on the kind of the main stage, just stuff like that. They need to stop being so tone deaf about that kind of stuff. And there's a whole history of stuff like that. They've been guilty of it. You know, I know I'm mainly kind of harping on WWE in this case, but
the big dog, that's
why. Yeah. But that's why they're the ones that make the headlines. And yeah, man, just, it's a tough question of making wrestling great again. For me, I would almost just keep it as simple as, look at New Japan, look at how well they're doing, try and emulate a little bit more of that. And I think that you'll find that you'll gain a lot more fans.
And quit trying to get cute with stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're not a Hollywood production. You're a pro wrestling company.
No.
Just be a pro wrestling company. Like, why don't you have Randy Orton attack Drew McIntyre in, like, the most hellacious way that you possibly can? Like, you know, ends up breaking his ankle. And then you have, you know, like, Adam Pearce comes out and we're going to suspend Randy Orton, but instead Drew McIntyre comes out and cuts the fiery babyface promo that says, no, don't suspend Randy Orton. Put me in the ring with Randy Orton. That'll be real punishment. You know, can rally behind the babyface. You dislike the heel, and it's pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, quit trying to be cute about it. Just do pro wrestling and do it well.
Yeah. And I think the other thing too, it's a factor that we can't ignore. But I mean, what's currently going on? I don't know exactly what the delay is. Supposedly at WrestleMania, they're looking at doing this. North American wrestling, we need to get fans back into the arenas again. I know that's asking for a lot, but I mean, probably more than any other place in the world, North America is really suffering with not having fans in the arena, Drago.
Well, we'll talk about that come Wednesday after we kind of see where things go on Tuesday, because the way that the election goes in the United States on Tuesday is very much going to influence when we see fans return to the arena, because Donald Trump wants to open the country up.
Yeah.
Joe Biden wants to close the country back down. So we will see which way the American people lean over the course of, you know, the next few days or weeks or
months
yeah. or
we'll see know. What happens.
I mean, it's a sad reality, but that's kind of the world that we're living in 2020.
Such a weird thing. Like, even here in Canada on CBC tomorrow, basically what's going to be all over the headlines is the American election. It's a little kind of surreal, a little strange being a Canadian and seeing that that's being the focus on the news.
Yeah, well, I could explain to you why that is, but, you know, then we're going to be on here for another hour talking about the New World Order and mean Hollywood Hogan, Hall, and Nash.
Yeah, absolutely, man. All right, well, we got to get ready to wrap it up here for this week. Before we go, let everybody know where they can find you in social media and what you got going on tomorrow.
You can find me across all social media platforms at NotJargo. Follow my other show, Destino, a New Japan Pro Wrestling podcast, at DestinoPod.com and across all social media at DestinoPod, even though I am awful about social media at this point. Really, the only thing that I do on social media at this point is post my daily top 10 random thoughts on my Facebook page, and that is a segment that you will hear coming into your ear holes tomorrow on the redo of the Hitting the Marks podcast. No longer the pro wrestling podcast. Not going to be a whole lot of wrestling on that show. But boy, do we got some other stuff to talk about that's going to be a whole lot of fun with myself and the real RBB, Richard Bronson Vickery. And we're also going to have our old friend Ryan K. Bowman making guest appearances during our sports segment. So there's going to be a lot of fun stuff coming up on the all-new Hitting the Marks podcast.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to hearing that. I know our listeners and our viewers are as well. And maybe I could be on sometime too. And when you want to get more of a kind of a Canadian take on things.
Yeah, well, you know, as a wise man once said to me, you never can always sometimes tell.
Looking forward to it, man. It's going to be good to good to hear and check out. And with us, just a couple things again. Make sure and go to collarandelbowbrand.com and use our promo code JKPodcast at that checkout if you want 10% off your entire order there. And also, we've got our own kind of merch. I'm actually wearing the black Turnbuckle Talk shirt right now. If you go to our turnbuckletalk.myshopify.com and you can check out our merch there as well. We got like coffee mugs, shirts, hats, hoodies, all kinds of stuff over there you can go and check out. And of course on social media you can find us at TB Talk Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All right, let us head out for the day, Jargo. And again, you know, since you're the guest, I'm gonna let you kind of send us off here today.
You know, I'm trying to get back into the routine of this, and it's proving to be very, very difficult. So, you know, until next time, we're off like a prom dress. See ya!
It's me! It's the hard to be the beat. As you can tell in the background, we are out celebrating. That is what we do here at HittingTheMarks.com. And I invite everyone to continue to tune in to Turnbuckle Talk, but check out all of our other shows we have. You can find that all at HittingTheMarks.com.
Run.
I would backup record, but I already have the logic file open for HTM.
No worries.
Running. You mother.
What? All right, we're going live.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.